celebrate the Lord and praise Him. He's a faithful God. Celebrate Jesus. Thank Him for the gift of life. Bless Him of a new day, a new month. Give Him glory. Give Him all the praise. Give Him glory. Give Him all the praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. And find one thing worthy enough to thank God for. Find one thing worthy enough to praise God for, to celebrate the Lord for. Find one thing worthy enough to adore Him for. David said, if it was not the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it was not God who was on our side, when man rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The proud waters have gone over our souls. But blessed be the name of God, who did not give our soul like a prey to be eaten, but our souls has escaped. For we have escaped from the snare of the fowl. Lift your voice and talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Parabo shata da da da. Rain parabo shata da. Zam parabo shabayas. Father, tonight we embrace your word with humility. We embrace your word with meekness. And we pray that in our meekness, meet us and speak to our hearts. Bless us beyond measure. Somebody, you may be seated in God's presence. David said that the voice of God is upon the waters, Psalm 29, verse 3. The voice of God is upon the waters. The waters is the word of God, Psalm 29, verse 3. The waters is the word of God. How do we know? In Ephesians 5:25-26. And he said, be purified and sanctified through the washing of the word by water. Ephesians 5:25-26. Husband, love your wives just as Jesus also loved the church and gave himself to her. verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So anytime the word of God comes, there is a cleansing. The word of God is a cleanser. Look at somebody and say, the word of God is a cleanser. On Saturday, I told you, you need a posture to receive from God. And that posture is from James chapter 1, verse 23. It's called the posture of meekness. Anytime God will do something great. James 1, 21 to 23, 21. You need meekness to meet God. Therefore, lay aside, Manasseh, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with what? Meekness, the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. But be doers of the word, not what? Hearers only, deceiving yourself. All right? For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like a man observing his natural face. But you need meekness to receive the word. Amen. Touch your heart and say, Father, give me the heart of meekness. And I told you that what is meekness is the humility of what? Teachability. Your ability to be humble. Amen. Meekness also means soberness. We saw in Numbers chapter 12, the example of meekness was Moses. Moses was a meek man. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 13:15 to 17. It takes the heart of meekness to receive. Right? He says that, hear and give what? Ear. Do not be what? Proud. For the Lord has spoken. Which means God speaks and not everyone hears. Amen. Awesome. I have been doing a very thoughtful studies because of the coming harvest that God spoke to me whilst I was in America. And preliminary, I said, this is our month of spiritual authority and submission. But as I began to engage myself in thoughtful studies, every sermon Dr. Miles Morrow had preached, I've listened to it. Amen? I listen to the sermon until I wake up. When I wake up, I'm listening the whole day on leadership, on spiritual authority, on the kingdom. So whilst I was studying and reading materials, I discovered that you cannot teach spiritual authority without making the people understand the kingdom. Because spiritual authority is a subset of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And if I knew this 10 years ago, I would have gone very far in life. Amen. The message of the kingdom is what Jesus told us to preach. And I think on Sunday during the school of ministry, I hit a little bit on it. The message of the kingdom is what Jesus preached, is what John the Baptist preached, is what all the major and the minor prophets preached. And that's what Jesus said we should preach.
message of the kingdom.
So I want to recommend some books for you. Now, leaders are readers. Look at someone say, leaders are readers. Anointing only grows through the meat of God's word. The Holy Spirit does not use vacuum. What is in you is what the Holy Spirit will use to reach out to your word. So, in my library, I want to suggest some books for you for the month. And you have to find these books, buy them, and read it the whole October. And as every leader, you need to buy these books. If you are going to stay under my covering and be a son or a daughter, then you must seek knowledge. The Bible says, buy the truth. And what? So you need this book, Becoming a Leader by Dr. Miles Monroe. Put a camera on it. That's the book for the month. Four books I'm giving you for the month. Every month till eternity, I'll be giving you books to read. Number two is rediscovering the kingdom. Rediscovering the kingdom. If you don't buy these books and read them, everything I'll be teaching will be nuisance to you. Because this month and next year, most of my teachings will be on the kingdom. And that's what Jesus taught us to preach. Also, you can serve God 20 years and just God is just bringing you to one place. All the schools you go to, all the experience is to get you to get to one place. Amazing. And you are like, ah, God. So all these years, what was I doing? God said it was not a wastage, but I needed you to grow to get you here. So you need this book, Rediscovering the Kingdom. All these are by Dr. Miles Monroe. And you need this third book called Applying the Kingdom. Applying the Kingdom is a must. Is a must. And the fourth book is called The Purpose and the Power of Authority. The Purpose and the Power of Your glow in life is as a result of your growth that is intrinsic. Anytime you see a man glowing is by virtue of an intrinsic growth that is inside. It comes by discipline. It comes by what? Forcefulness. Praise the Lord. So God said, I'm bringing an extraordinary church growth. Come to Ghana, train your leaders, empower and equip people. God has given me a new directive. I feel like I'm now starting ministry. Amen. And I've been encountering God like never before. I've seen that my ministry has changed. There is a shift. Amen. I was preaching for Apostle Oku Hackman on Friday. I preached so strong. In fact, my deaconesses were telling Papa Wadia, go and do prophetic. God violated the word of the deaconesses. I preached so, and afterwards the miracles, the healings. Fibroids were disappearing. Lumps in the breast were disappearing. Amazing. Friday all night. And I said, God, is this you? He said, yeah, this is me. He says that I needed to prepare you and get you to this place. So let your hunger go up. Look at this, let your hunger go up. If you don't have anointing to read, then you cannot be a son or a daughter of this house. You have to read. Leaders are readers. Get these books and read them. It will change your life. Amen? The whole of next year, I'll be teaching about the kingdom. Because that's what Jesus said we should teach. Praise the Lord. When I start teaching about the kingdom, you will know that all this while you have been playing. Because we are not Christians. We are kingdom people. And there is a kingdom culture. There's a way we must live. Praise the Lord. When I start teaching about the kingdom, you will understand that people are joking. People are joking. Amen. So if you're excited, clap your hands unto Jesus. Look at someone and say, get these books and read. So I'm going to introduce today on what I've entitled the kingdom concept. The kingdom concept. And on Sunday, I will take you very deep into it. Next week, Wednesday, I'll be teaching on God's priority. Amen. The next two weeks Sunday, I will teach on applying the kingdom. And it's going to be a very phenomenal time in God's presence. How I wish I had this revelation 10 years ago. Amen. But God will prepare the man to be ready for his right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Matthew chapter 6, verse 29 to 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 29 to 33. Thank you for being in church tonight. Normally, that's why I don't like to do conferences. After conferences, people get tired. They don't want to come to church. All right? Start from verse 30. And if you have a moment, share the broadcast. So somebody can receive this teaching. Somebody can receive this teaching. I'm ready for God. I'm ready for what God has for us. And we're going to take off shortly. All right. Jesus is speaking. And he said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Let's go. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 33. But seek first. Say first things first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's God's priority for man. That's God's priority for man's supply and provision. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all your worries will be met. All these things shall be met. Amen. Matthew 6. Verse 8 to 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. Jesus is teaching prayer. And therefore do not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of them before you ask him. All right? Verse 9. In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven. Not your Father, our Father. Where is his location? He is located in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. When the kingdom comes, then his will, your will be done on earth. What is the will of God? His nature, his glory. It's called the kabod, the heaviness of God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, heaven, there is a heaven, and what is in heaven can be replicated on the earth. Praise the living God, as it is in heaven. Stretch your hands, Father. Give us grace for clarity of understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The entire month, I'm going to share with you by way of objectivity who truly you are and how to become who God made you to be. That is, we are going to elucidate on and expound on God's original plan for humanity. God's original plan for humanity. And God's design for you as a human. God's original plan for humanity. And God's design for you as a human. Number one, please understand that the Bible is not a religious book. This is the foundation I'm laying tonight. I wish we had a full house, but it's okay. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is not about religion at all. Look at someone say, the Bible is not a religious book. Open it your mouth, because I'm going to shift you completely. It's like I'm going to overhaul your theology. And I'm going to reproduce you back as a citizen of heaven. And anything, you will never even use the word membership again. Or church. The word church will be out of your dialogue after these 2 months. The Bible, number two, is about a king. Number three, the Bible is about a kingdom. A kingdom. The Bible, number four, is about a royal family. Number five, the Bible is about God's government. Number six, the Bible is about God's colonization of the earth by heaven. God's colonization of the earth by heaven. And number seven, the Bible is about a restorative program of God. A restorative program of God. If you have a moment, share the broadcast. So today, fundamentally, as opposed to your personal primitive theological concept and philosophy, you are now discovering that the Bible is not a religious book. The Bible we read is not about religion at all. But it's about a king, about a kingdom, about a royal family, about God's government, and it's about the colonization of a planet by heaven. And lastly, it's about what? A restorative program of God. So we can now agree that for centuries the Bible has been misunderstood. The entire Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is about a king, a kingdom, and a royal family. A king, a kingdom, and a royal family. Now I want you to hear this. Let's talk about the kingdom concept. The kingdom concept is the idea God invented. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you that God is the first king. Look at someone and say, God is the first king. So the concept of the kingdom was not invented by mankind, but was the first form of government introduced by the Creator himself. This is like a master's program, so you have to open up your spirit and your mind. The Bible declares in Psalm 24, verse 7 to 8, that God is the King of glory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world that dwelt therein, for he founded upon the seas, established by the flood. Who shall ascend to the hills of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, nor sworn deceitfully, nor has not lifted up his voice into vanity. Lift up. Then he comes, verse 7 says, lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory. The King of, who is this King of glory? I said God is the what? The first king. He's called the what? The King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So the first king that has ever been is God. Look at someone say, he is God. Now, God is also known to be the ancient king. The ancient king means he is the oldest one in existence. God is known to be the ancient king. It means he's the oldest one in existence. Psalm 74, verse 12. For God is my king from old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. God is the ancient king. For God is my king from of what? Of old. Working what? Salvation in the midst of the earth. So now we have established that the kingdom concept was introduced by God, and God is the King of glory. He is the ancient king. God is a King of glory, and if he's the King of glory, watch means he's the King of glory. What does that mean? It means he is the king of an invisible nation called heaven. Heaven is a country. Look at someone say, heaven is a country. He's a king of glory. He is a king of an invisible nation, an invisible country called heaven. And this God we serve, he wanted to extend his kingdom beyond what he created. So he created a physical world as an extension of his glory, as an extension of his kingdom. So God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the what? Are you following scripture? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the what? And the earth. So, the original purpose of God is to extend himself into a colony called the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, take note, all kingdoms wants to expand. Every kingdom expands. means the concept of the kingdom is very vital and critical. Because God is not only the first king, but he produced children who he created to be kings on the earth. Follow the thought. It's just fundamentals, just introduction. God is not only the first king, but he produced children who he created to be kings over the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his world. Look at someone and say, I am God's own special people. So God did not only become king through creation of the invisible world, but he is known to be the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings because he's made kings in us. And we are kings on the earth, representing our Lord, our Supreme King. Tap your neighbor and say, you are a king, and you don't even know it. He's the King of Kings. So we are kings over the physical realm of the earth. And he's our king, so he's the King of Kings. There are 11 principles I want you to take notice of tonight as we decode the kingdom concept. There are 11 principles as we decode the kingdom concept. And as the weeks passes by, as I take you deeper and deeper and deeper, your mind will be broadened, your spirit will be empowered, you receive insight and knowledge. Now you will know who you are. You know what you are. You know that this kingdom, we have a culture. And words like church will leave your lips. Membership will leave your lips. The words like I, me, would disappear from your vocabulary. Because if you belong to a kingdom, there is a culture. And if you know who you are in a kingdom, nobody will tell you how to behave. Praise the living God. Let's look at God's original intent. The kingdom concept, as we decode it. God's original plan in creation was to extend his heavenly kingdom on the earth. We were colonized by the British. And everything that we used to do was by virtue of our colonial masters. Our habits, our culture, our food, our way of life. Our colonial masters had a certain kind of influence on us. Praise the living God. So if heaven is a country and the earth is its colony, then the culture of heaven is resonated and replicated on the earth. What is in heaven is on the earth. So the original intent of God is to extend his heavenly kingdom on the earth. Number two, God's purpose was to establish a family. A family of sons and not servants. Sons. The colonial masters had servants. They had what? Slaves. But God's agenda is to establish a family of what? Sons. Number three, God's purpose was to establish a kingdom of sons and not subjects. Every king has subjects. But in God's kingdom, we are not subjects, but we are what? We are sons. Get these fundamentals. Get these fundamentals and never lose it. Go back after church and play it. And play it again. This is your personal Christian growth. This teaching will help you. It will remold your philosophy. The kingdom concept. In the books I showed you, make sure you look around, get these books and read them. Get the books and do what? Read them. It will change your life. Look at someone and say, you have to grow. Yes. And you have to grow in knowledge. You do what you do because you are shallow. You have to grow in knowledge. And if you are going to lead, then buy the truth and sell it. Number four, God's purpose was to establish a commonwealth of citizens, not Christians. A commonwealth of citizens, not Christians. We are citizens of God's kingdom, not just Christians. Christianity is to a religion. The kingdom concept is not a religion, it's a country. I don't want to go ahead of myself and confuse you. On Sunday, I'll open you up more. Number five, God's purpose was to establish relationships, not religion. Relationship, not religion. Reverend, bring the woman of God, please. Number six, Pastor Daniel, let him sit by you. God's original purpose and intent, so we can sit here, was to rule the seen from the unseen. Was to rule the seen from the unseen. These are all bullets that I'll be breaking down for you. Through the unseen, living in the seen of the seen. What comes? God's original purpose and intent was to rule the unseen through, was to rule the seen from the unseen. To rule the seen from the what? Through the unseen, living in the seen of the seen. S-C-E-N, the last seen. What does that mean? Number seven, it brings us to number seven. Human beings were created to exercise dominion over the earth and all its creatures. Human beings were primarily created by God to exercise dominion over the earth and all the creatures. That is why Adam was able to name every plant, every animal, and God accepted it. And the plant recognized the dominion of Adam. The animals recognized the dominion of Adam. In the days of Noah, when you study Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8, chapter 8, chapter 6, chapter 7 and chapter 8, you see that the animal kingdom responded to the voice of Noah. That he was able to separate the two unclean, the two clean, the seven clean and the seven unclean. And his voice could be recognized by the animal kingdom, that any of them that he summoned into the ark responded with delight. That is dominion. Say dominion. That is God's original intent and purpose for our creation. Dominion. Number 8, gave us rulership of the earth, not ownership. God gave us rulership of the earth, not what? There is nothing we have that belongs to us. Belongs to him. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Earth is the Lord and the silver. The world, the fullness thereof. So whatever God gives to you is to serve his agenda. God's priority is everything that he gives to us, we don't own it, but is to serve his purpose. Kingdom theology. Number 9, understand these principles of kingdom theology, the concept of God's kingdom. God will not do anything on earth without permission or access from those on earth to whom he gave dominion to. God will not do anything on earth without permission or access from those on earth to whom he gave dominion to. It's called a dominion mandate. In theology, we call it self-effacement. God has put himself on trial to either be chosen by man and neglected by man. In Ezekiel, he said, "And I sought for a man who stand in the gap." So God does not bring the woman of God to sit by Reverend Mauli. Bless you. Thank you for coming. That's amazing. So God will not do anything on earth without permission or access from those on earth to whom he gave dominion to. So God does not infringe in the dominion mandate of man. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Emanuela. That's Prophet Isaac Ozu-Bempe's first child. Amen. Clap your hands. It's a blessing to have you. Thank you for being here. I didn't think you would surely come. Thank you. Amen. She told me she'll be visiting us today. And I said, okay, we can't wait to have you. Amen. Number 10, God can do anything. These are the principles of the kingdom. The concept. The kingdom concept. God can do anything because he has given us the license. God can do anything, but because he has given us the license, he can release on earth only what we allow. God can do anything, but because he has given us the license, he can release on earth only what we allow. That is why prayer is paramount. Look at someone say, prayer is paramount. When you read the Bible, the atheists and agnostics, they question God because they wonder, in a test like when God says, when God said to Abraham, but now I know that you love me. And the question is, if you are omniscient, you should know already that Abraham was not going to kill the son. But God, in his dominion mandate, has allowed man to exercise his will. And God has placed himself on trial for man to either choose or not choose him. Praise the Lord. So God gives you access, and he doesn't infringe on the access he has given to you. But what you allow him, you release it. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door of your heart, knocking, if you allow me. Praise the Lord. All right. Number 11, the gospel of the kingdom is called good news. Say, good news. Now, this gospel of the kingdom that we call good news is a message sent from a father to his children. It's a message sent from a daddy to his kids. Don't lose this. We are building foundations. So when I start teaching on kingdom culture, kingdom priorities, you'll not be lost. Rediscovering the kingdom, you'll not be lost. Applying the kingdom, you'll not be lost. The message, the gospel of the kingdom is called what? The good news. Look at the good news. This good news is a message from a father to all his children. A message from a daddy to all his kids. Telling them that they can return home back to the kingdom. They can return home back to the kingdom. And once again, be sons and daughters in their rightful places. We can return home back to the kingdom and be sons and daughters in our rightful places. Amazing God. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God needs a body. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God needs a body to demonstrate it. For his will in heaven to be replicated. We are the body. Jesus was the first body. We are the body. Let me take you, those of you who have read sociology, economics, and all the studies, all the throughout this month, all the things you studied in the polytechnics, universities will come in. Communalism, all that I'll be talking about, Marxism and all that. So don't throw them away. Democracy and all that. Because I'm going to separate the kingdom from religion, from democracy, from communism, from Marxism, all the human inventions, because every human need is seeking for utopia. Say utopia. Utopia. On Sunday, I'll get into that. Let's look at rediscovering the kingdom concept. Over the past 2,000 years, the true concept of the kingdom has been lost. Look at someone say, the kingdom concept has been lost. Why? Because of the advent of modern government built on new concept of governing. Like I mentioned on socialism, democracy, communism, and dictatorship. For the most part, people in the Western world know very little about the kingdom and the concept of royalty and monarchy. This is further compounded by the idea that kingdoms were designed or are designed to elevate one family above all families and subjugate and oppress citizens. While it is true that many kingdoms have dark histories of atrocities and oppression, prospering at the expense of the dignity and the value of their citizens, the original concept of the kingdom, as introduced by God Himself, watch this, stands alone as the perfect prototype of government built on righteous judgment. Which means it doesn't matter what other kingdoms that we see, man-made kingdoms. God's kingdom is the only kingdom that is the prototype that stands on the grounds of what? Righteous judgment. Look at someone say, righteous judgment. The dilemma is that many people has embraced religion as opposed to the kingdom. Many people love religion, and religion will give you a set of laws and rules to obey. Religion creates a system, but the kingdom creates a culture. One of the cultures of this house is the culture of honor. And nobody will teach you, because if you look at your head pastor's lifestyle, what I portray, what I post, nobody will teach you that Prophet Bernard Taylor believes in honor as a lifestyle. One of the cultures of this house is the culture of humility. If you are proud, you don't survive here. So religion creates a body of systems that brings oppression, but the kingdom creates a culture, a lifestyle that we live by. Praise the living God. Look at someone and say, this man is going to be very deep. All the kingdoms of the earth were mere attempts to imitate God's perfect kingdom. They were all decoys. Today, our modern democracies are attempts to achieve the goals of the perfect kingdom. Without the necessary raw material, who is the Holy Spirit? Added to this confusion, even ignorance concerning kingdom, religion has further diverted our understanding by converting the message of the kingdom of God into a moral belief system. That's what religion does. All religious organizations are portraying what we call moral belief system. From now to December, God is going to cause a rejuvenation, a total rebirth, a total overhauling of our theology. And I need you to be on the same page with me. And it's a must. Every leader, every church worker, every pastor must get these books to read. If you read these books, it will change your life as it has changed my life. If you read these books, when I start teaching you, you will start shouting. Because your mind, your mentality will be enhanced. Praise the Lord. Information equals transformation. Do you believe that? For my people are destroyed. Hosea 4 says, for lack of what? Knowledge. So you need these books. These books will change your life. These books. Amen. Praise the living God. Today, our modern democracies are attempt to achieve the goals of the perfect kingdom without necessarily the raw material, like I said, the Holy Spirit. And added to this confusion and even ignorance concerning the kingdom, religion has further diverted our understanding by converting the message of the kingdom into a moral belief system, like I said. The result is that religion has become an end in itself. Write it down. Religion has become an end in itself. Distinguishing itself from the concept, the kingdom concept, with pride. In fact, many religions take pride in the separation of religion and state, and see the two as opposing entities with no common relationship. You didn't hear what I said. I'm a Methodist. That's religion. I'm what? A Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. That's not the agenda of God. We are kingdom people. We are one people under one umbrella. And I say it with no apology. Action Chapel members hardly go to ICGC conferences, and ICGC conferences members hardly go to Action conferences, even in the charismatics. This prophet, his people cannot go here. That prophet, their people cannot go here. Is the cause of religion. But when you are kingdom minded, so religion has brought separation and division in the body of Christ. Am I teaching tonight? Religion has caused more harm than danger to us. By distinguishing itself from the kingdom concept with pride. The dilemma here is that the kingdom is a state government with all the characteristics of a state. Jesus came to the earth. Write this down. I'm introducing the concept of the kingdom. Jesus came to the earth to restore what Adam lost. And he brought back the kingdom message. And on Sunday, I will show you that Jesus only preached the kingdom. And I will show you on Sunday that he only told the disciples to preach one message, the kingdom. When you understand the kingdom, you not even be in a hurry to go to heaven now. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in. So heaven is trying to get to earth. And you are also trying to go to heaven. When I began to read these books of Dr. Miles Monroe, and Dr. Miles Monroe confused my theology. He said, Jesus, he preached the kingdom. He didn't preach salvation. I said, hey, sir, what are you talking about? And I began to read and soak and soak. And God began to speak to me. I went on YouTube. Every message on Dr. Miles Monroe, I've listened to it. Because the only thing that brings transformation and clarity is what? Information. And I said, I wish I knew this. But I'm going to teach you very strongly so you become fit as a believer. You will not even call yourself Christian again. You call yourself a kingdom person. Because Christianity is a religion. And Jesus didn't introduce the religion of man. He introduced the kingdom. And I'm going to show you in light of God's word. We're going to have an amazing month. And if this is the last thing I'll do and God will take my life, I'll be glad. I have discovered what is missing in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to teach it. Jesus came, number two, to reestablish the government of God on the earth. The government of God. If you've done political science, please go back and read your notes. Jesus came to reestablish the government of God on the earth. And number three, Jesus came to reinstate his earthly kings. 1 Peter 2:9, his earthly kings to their rightful position of dominion. Genesis 1:26-28. That's why Jesus came. Say dominion. Now, the kingdom concept. Let's go further. Adam did not lose a garden. He lost a kingdom. Adam lost a kingdom, not a garden. Number two, Adam lost a kingdom, not a religion. Not a religion. Therefore, the redemptive work of the Creator would be the re-establishment of his kingdom on the earth. His re-establishment of his kingdom on the earth. Amazing. Today, I was meditating and God showed me something. Let me digress a bit. I was studying the book of Luke chapter 5. And Jesus asks, give me your boat, your resources, your talent, your gifting, after they worked the whole night. And he said, launch into the deep. After they gave him their life, their boat, their resources. He's the second Adam. Guess what? They were said, we work all night. And God said to me, have you forgotten it was the second Adam? That in Genesis, he spoke to fishes and they heard him. God gave me that revelation. I said, wow. I jumped up and I was praying in tongues. I said, why are you worried? When Adam is back. He said, Adam is back. Give me your life and I'll restore what you lost in the Garden of Eden. And they caught fishes and their net broke. God said, if you clean up, God said he's bringing net breaking grace. Amen. Look at someone and say, Adam is back. The kingdom concept will change your theology. Now, let's take a look at what a kingdom entails. In order to understand the message of Christ and what the Bible entails, denotes, and connotes. What is a kingdom? Are you being blessed? Do you feel already charged? A kingdom is a good message. Adam is back. Adam is back. Adam is back. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory. Impacting it with his personal will. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, values, morals, and lifestyle that reflect the king's desire and nature for the citizens. I'm going to say it again. I'll break it down for you on Sunday. 2011, I went to invite Dr. Michael Yamiche to South Africa in my conference. And let's find a flyer. Prophet, just put Facebook. Prophet Bernard Taylor and Dr. Michael Yamiche. The flyer will come. Anything connected to us will come out. So when I went to him in his house in West Legon, he was reading on the kingdom. And he said to me, Bernard, you need to start reading on the kingdom. 2014, I was having a conversation with him. And he said, have I started teaching my people on the kingdom? My mind at that time, I didn't catch it. Almost 9 years. This past April, I started talking about it, spiritual authority. And that's when I started feeding on the kingdom. Feeding on the kingdom. Did I ever send you any link on YouTube? I didn't send Kofi rather. I sent Kofi one of the message I discovered, taught by Dr. Miles Moreau. And he was preaching for Maurice Orolo. Feeding on the kingdom. God is amazing. Sometimes God will let you go merry-go-round to get you to one place. By then you have wisdom. You can see clear. One of my sons said, Papa, the money is finished, so my eyes clear. So the eyes is clear. It's Pastor Mark who said that. So, Papa, the morning is finished, so my eyes clear. Now my eyes has clear. See the kingdom. A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will. Purpose, intent, producing a culture, values, morals, lifestyle that reflects the king's desire and nature. So a kingdom is affected by the personal will of the king. Seek ye first. See, first things first. That's God's priority. I'll hit on it on Sunday. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Two things God said. Two things God said we must pursue. He didn't talk about prayer. He didn't talk about anything. He said two things if you are to seek and search for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we are lost. We are completely lost. In democracy, in socialism, in communism, and all those things is legislation of the people. But this one, the will of the Father. And your wishes are only met when you pursue his will. So a kingdom is affected by the personal will of the king, not legislation of a people. What the king desires is what the kingdom manifests. What the king desires. You have made my pastor uncomfortable. He's a single man. Otto, you know, why very edgy? Shabby, not dream. Ejoko, si bobo, we undrum, bobo. Also, bobo, we undrum. Okay. Oh, yeah, slow, yeah. Go and find it and watch. Oh, yeah, slow, yeah. Also, bobo, we undrum. Bobo, we undrum. So, what the king desires is what the kingdom manifests. Look at us. What the king desires is what the kingdom manifests. Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this now produces a citizenry. It produced a citizenship, a citizenry who reflect the culture of the king. Are you following me? It produces what? A citizenry who does what? Who reflects the culture of the king. So if you don't epitomize the culture of heaven, you are not a true citizen. You will not struggle about it. And you see, Jesus said, these people are not part of us. Because if you are of me, you will do what my Father does. So, culture and what? Citizenship are parallel. They are not parallel. They are connected. A true citizen lives by the culture, not the dictates. It's not dictatorship. There is a way heaven behaves, and what is in heaven is replicated on the earth. And we'll get there in about 3 weeks. I'll teach on kingdom culture. You reflect also the nature of the king. The nature. The The word nature is the same word as his glory. The word glory is the same word as kabod. And the word kabod is his heaviness, his weight and substance. So the word nature is a word as what? His glory. And the word glory is the word, Hebrew word, kabod, which means his weight, his substance, and his heaviness. Religion produces a system people follow. Kingdom produces a culture we live by. Are you being blessed? Religion produces a system people follow. Kingdom produces a culture we live by. Go deeper. The kingdom concept was born in the heart of man. God placed it there, placed by his creator as the purpose for why we're created. The kingdom concept was born in the heart of man, placed by God himself as the original purpose for our creation. Look at us, I'm a kingdom citizen. I'm not a member of a church. I'm a kingdom citizen. I don't belong to any organization. I don't belong to any denomination. I am a kingdom citizen manifesting the nature, the glory, and the will of my master. Despite the fact that there are many types of kingdom throughout history, there are certain characteristics common to all kingdoms. The kingdom of God, according to Jesus Christ, also possesses these components. And in order to understand the scriptural concept of the kingdom, let me zero in some few things and I'll bring you into conclusion. Number one, all kingdoms have kings and Lord. That's sovereign. You can't vote in and out of a king. He's not a president. He's not showdown. Amen. Sa Kenny J Japan no banu sa. The Joko songs. All kingdom has a territory. Say a territory. It's called domain. All kingdoms have a constitution. It's called a royal covenant. Do you feel like being enlightened tonight? It's called a royal covenant. All kingdoms have a citizenry. It's called a community of sons and daughters. Community of what? We are not subjects. We are not slaves. We are sons and daughters. Kingdom subjects, not slaves in servitude. All kingdoms have laws. That is acceptable principles. There are things that cannot be done. Not because it's by force, but it's the culture of the kingdom. So when you sit here and there are things you look around, it's not incongruent with the culture. You will feel a repellent force because it's not part of our culture. Praise the Lord. One day I went in America, I went to an Indian shop, Indian restaurant, and they said they had buffet, so I went around. And no, sorry, Chinese, sorry, or Indian, Chinese, big, like the whole church, went around. And that's the first time I saw them frying frogs. And the Chinese chef said, "Hey, sir, you want some? You want some?" Missing me. It's not part of my culture. TikTok, I saw a video of a man killing an anaconda and how he prepared the anaconda snake. Very yummy. But it's not part of our culture. See, look at something, it's not part of our culture. So, there are certain behaviors. No, you will not need the pastor to come and rebuke it. Because you know this is not part of our culture. It's not part of the kingdom culture. Acceptable principles. Number six, all kingdoms have privileges. That's rights and benefits. All kingdoms have code of ethics. Code of ethics. That is acceptable lifestyle and conduct. You know, one day I was praying, and I was praying for the church. I was praying for church growth, and I was studying every book on church growth that Baba Heward Mills has written. I was praying, God, what must I do? What must I do? What must I do? And one of the things the Lord said to me, he said, "You want increase, but you dress like a funky boy." You know, those days when I come from America, I wear my t-shirt, and because I started training, I'll flex my muscles a bit. God said, "Dress for the growth that is coming." Right. Amazing. God said, "Dress for the growth." He said, "It takes seriousness to have a glorious harvest." And he said, "If you see 10, teach like you are teaching 1,000, and thank me for it, I will bring the harvest." Amen. God is a wise God. Code of ethics. Acceptable lifestyle and conduct. All kingdoms have army, security. All kingdoms have what we call a commonwealth. Say a commonwealth. Do you remember commonwealth? What is commonwealth? You studied it. It's called economic security. All kingdoms have social culture. That is protocols and procedures. Protocols and what? I was listening to Reverend Archbishop Ajinasari. He said in 40 years he has not had a woman. In 40 years he has not had a woman. It's a social culture. He said in 40 years he has not shaken the hand of a female. Hey, so for God cannot use her. Some of us, God cannot use her. Because me hagayaju we are simupa. You don't know what is going on. You don't listen to the fathers. You don't watch any. I can tell you, every father you mention their name, I can tell you where they are preaching. I can tell you. Mention their name, I'll tell you where they are now. I am hungry. I am hungry for something. I am hungry for something. So for. God does not anoint stupid heads. He anoints serious minds. I'm hungry. I'm reading. I'm studying. I'm praying. I'm listening to the fathers. To the fathers. What's it to the fathers? Archbishop Charles Ajinasari is the Benny Hinn of Ghana in the miracle business. He said he has not hacked a woman for over 40 years. He has not shaken the hands of a woman for over 40 years. It's his personal social culture. The king and the Lord. Let's pick the first one once we prepare to close. The King and the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1. He's sovereign. The King is the embodiment of the kingdom, representing its glory and nature. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, which means everything that is in it, the world and those that dwell in. Now, the word Lord means you are my responsibility. So, anytime you say Lord Jesus, it means I am your subject. I submit under your authority. So, you are responsible for me. So, anytime you have ever said Lord, it's a very serious thing. The territory, a domain. The domain is the territory over which the king exercises total authority. The territory and its resources and people are all personal property of the king. Do you feel enlightened tonight? The king by right, who is God, owns all and therefore is considered Lord over all. So God cannot be Lord over your body and not your resource. He is Lord over all. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. The word Lord denotes ownership by right. Say ownership by right. Lord is only given to one who is sovereign owner. That is why the scripture declares the earth is the Lord. Number two, the constitution. Number three is the constitution. It's called the royal constitution. It's the covenant of a king with his citizenry and expresses the mind and the will of the king for his citizens and the kingdom. The royal constitution, which is the word of God, expresses the mind and the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, for his people and the kingdom. It constitutes the intent of the sovereign Lord for his people as well as containing the benefits and privileges of the kingdom. The constitution is the documented words of the king. The Bible contains the constitution of the kingdom of God, which details his will and mind for his citizens. Number four is the citizenry. That is a community of people. Is the people that live under the rule of the king. Citizenship in the kingdom is not a right, but a privilege. And it's a result of the king's choice. The benefits and privilege of the kingdom are only accessible to citizens. If you are not a citizen of the kingdom, you cannot enjoy the benefit. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice, they do not hear. Therefore, the favor of the king is always a privilege. Once one becomes a citizen of the kingdom, all the rights of the citizenship are at the citizenship pleasure. The king is obligated to care for and protect for all his citizens. And their welfare is a reflection of the king himself. The king cannot be strong and the citizenry is weak. So you don't pray for healing if the king is healthy. His health is your wealth. Clap your hands unto Jesus. I'm laying the foundation. When I begin to teach it over the weeks, these things I'm saying will make sense to you. The Bible now will jump into your spirit. The number one goal of a citizen in a kingdom is to submit to the king. Seeking only to remain in right standing with the king. This is called righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is called what? Righteousness. That is why Jesus said to them, Jesus said the priority of man is to seek his kingdom. Number five is the law. Acceptable principles constitute the standards and principles established by the king himself by which his kingdom will function and be administered. The laws of a kingdom are to be obeyed by all, including foreigners residing in it. The laws of a kingdom are the way by which one is guaranteed access to the benefits of the king and the kingdoms. Violation of the kingdom law places one at odds with the king and thus interrupt the favorable position one enjoys with the king. The laws in a kingdom cannot be changed by the citizens, nor are they subject to a citizen referendum or debate. You don't debate the laws of a kingdom. You don't. It doesn't go into referendum. Praise the Lord. The word of the king is law. Look at what the word of the king is. Anytime God speaks, it becomes law. Look at someone say, anytime God speaks, it becomes law. Rebellion against the law is rebellion against the king. King David understood this principle of the royal word when he stated Psalm 138 verse 2. Look at Psalm 138 verse 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Privileges, rights, and benefits are the benefits the king lavishes on his faithful citizens. Code of ethics, acceptable lifestyle and conduct is the acceptable conduct of the citizens in the kingdom and their representation of the kingdom. This code includes moral standards, social relationship, personal conduct, attitude, attire, and manner of life. The army, security, is the kingdom's system of securing its territory and protecting its citizens. Praise the Lord. Commonwealth is the economic security, which is the economic system of a kingdom which guarantees each citizen equal access to financial security in the kingdom. In a kingdom, the term commonwealth is used because the king's desire is that all his citizens share and benefit from the wealth of the kingdom. And the kingdom's glory is in the happiness and the health of the citizens. Praise the living God. So Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 23. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. But seek ye first. Luke 12, 22 to 23. But seek ye first. Jesus is speaking. It's more profound there. But seek ye first the kingdom. He said, Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow or reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So what is the number one priority of God? Seek the kingdom. And what God does for the ravens, he will do it more for you, because he considers you more precious than the ravens. Clap your hands unto Jesus. The court
culture of heaven.
The culture of heaven. Replicating the culture of heaven on the earth. What is in heaven must be replicated on the earth. Throughout this month, we are going to be kingdomized. We are going to be kingdomized. We are going to be kingdom filtrated, kingdom induced. I'm trusting God to take religion out of you and infuse you with kingdom mentality. When you begin to walk as a citizen of a kingdom, you don't see church, because you know your responsibility. You are a subject to a king, and he's watching. The social culture are the protocols and the procedures, is the environment created by the life and manners of the king and his citizens. There's a cultural aspect that separates and distinguishes the kingdom from all other around it. It is a culture that expresses the nature of the king. What you do reveals what is in you. So your culture reveals your nature. Your culture reveals your nature. Look at us. Your culture reveals your nature. Through the lifestyle. Through the lifestyle. Praise the Lord. This distinction in the kingdom culture is evidenced in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he repeated said in the book of Matthew. Matthew 5 verse 21 to 22. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you, and again, it shall not be so among you. Kingdom social culture is supposed to be evident in our daily activities. Encounters. Today, we have Christians who hide from their Christianity. They are ashamed of their Christianity. Look at someone and say, you are a kingdom person. And that's how God created you to be. Say, you represent heaven on the earth. And whatever is not of heaven cannot be on the earth. Stand to your feet, clap your hands unto Jesus. I want to introduce these books to you again. Number one is Rediscovering the Kingdom by Dr. Miles Moreau. Number two, these are the books for the month, is The Purpose and the Power of Authority. Number three is Applying the Kingdom. Applying the Kingdom. And lastly, one of the greatest books is Becoming a Leader. You have to enrich your knowledge base. Look at someone and say, enrich your knowledge base. Enrich your knowledge base. Lift your hands and begin to adore the Lord. Celebrate him. Honor him. And tell God to give you clarity of understanding. And this month, as we've zoomed into the kingdom teaching, ask him for grace. Ask him for grace. Yeshua Amaziah, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua Amaziah, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua Amaziah, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua Amaziah, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba. Lift your hands. Yeshua Amaziah, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba. Yeshua Amaziah.
Sorry.
You too. raise a quality sacrifice tonight. The details are on the screen. Release a midweek seed for a blessing. Cash App is $JulesDersen. The PayPal is JulesDersen8@gmail.com. And the Zelle is JN+347522609. And the Momo is 0246805. So a quality seed.